And yet in their growth, they've been influenced by the world and other people. They have questions, they have concerns, and Paul is writing to help them in their concerns, writing to address some issues, some things that they had done that was wrong. And so Paul is writing this letter to them that's going to be very helpful to them, and we're going to see even later that they got some of those things right, and so very helpful letter. But it's not just helpful to the church at Corinth, I think it can be very helpful to us, because some of the same issues that Paul dealt with way back then, we can have a tendency to deal with now. Certainly, the topic of division is something that that Christendom certainly knows. There's been a lot of division, always division. It seems like always there are people that are dividing over certain things and certain things that they don't like or they don't want, and somebody's ways better than this person's ways, and I don't understand why we don't do this, and people get bothered about certain things. They don't like certain things that are done. They would have done something differently, and they think that maybe they have a better way or it should have been done this way than somebody else, and so then the only alternative in their minds is that they divide. And division is a tragic thing. Division breaks down. Division causes struggle. Division only makes us smaller. And honestly, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but in our circles these days, it just seems like our circles are getting smaller and smaller and smaller because people are finding ways to divide. So what can Faith Bible Church do so that we don't need to divide up anymore? My contention to you is that we don't divide, that we figure out how to live with each other in love and continue to go. Only, listen to this, only when there's spiritual heresy in a church, things that are wrong, departing from the truth of God's word in doctrine and in practice, only then is when we should look for another church. Okay? Now, obviously, if God leads us to a ministry, that's another subject, another thing. But as we are in a church, as you have you, your family in a church, the only time that we leave a church is when there is wrong going on. And what we try to do is we try to get to truth, and we see what truth is, and we try to work it out so that we continue to follow in truth. That is our church's goal, is that we follow Christ, our leader, in truth. And so we've got to discover what the Word of God says and go in truth. And the only way that we can do that is if our church is if we stay together in unity. And so tonight I want to look at we've already started it, but continue on in our looking at curing divisions. How can we cure this so that we don't divide ourselves up? So the people here at Corinth, we've looked at, you know, in the last couple of weeks, were unknowingly, maybe knowingly, starving themselves of the very thing that would enable them to be godly. Last week we learned about studying God's Word. In the first couple of verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, they were still carnal. They were still spiritual babes because they were only partaking of the spiritual milk, if we could put it that way, and not on the meat. And Paul is saying to them, you've got to get beyond the milk so that we can do bigger and better things for the Lord, so that we can be right. And the outcome of not being in God's Word was carnality, being very selfish. And I submit to you again that if we don't want divisions, we've got to, first of all, be in God's Word. Let's take here to what God's Word says. Let's study God's Word. Let's understand what God's Word says. As we get to know God, as we get to know His Word, then it's going to help us to draw closer to Him and closer to each other. And it's going to keep us from all that ugly immaturity that is there. Last week we took a moment to think, you know, there's a lot of ugly immaturity in the nursery. And I say that, I'm not talking about any specific ones. I'm talking about that at that age, there's just a lot of thinking for myself. You know, when I was that age, I'm very confident that I thought of myself. And when you were that age, you probably thought of yourself. But as we grow older in Christ, as we get into God's Word, we start to realize that all those selfish things in life that we feel like we deserve, those things have got to go. And true love is when we're looking at other people's needs and not our own. And so that's what Paul is trying to get them. Honestly, the big message of 1 Corinthians is let's love each other and let's be right with the Lord. Let's do right in truth, but let's also be united together and not divide up. Okay, so Now Paul recognizes before these people that it has nothing to do with us personally, our success that we looked at this morning, but God. And honestly, I didn't plan it this way, but tonight kind of just flows from what we learned this morning, that God is the key. He is the answer. First of all, I want you to see real glory. First, real glory. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 5. Here we see real glory. Who then is Paul? And remember, this is just at the heels of you know, Paul is saying, listen, you're still carnal. You've not been in God's word. You've not been growing. And the result of that is that you have envying and strife, divisions. And he said, aren't you carnal? Aren't you walking just as men? And so now he goes into verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and I am of another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So he's recognizing their carnality and just the divisions that are there. Now, Paul asks some questions. He says, so, and he's asking himself, he says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. This is kind of amazing. I don't know if you're catching what Paul is saying. He's saying, who then is Paul? You realize what Paul is doing to himself here? He's bringing himself down. He's actually saying, who am I? It's kind of a rhetorical question. He's not just saying, who am I, like he's really asking them. He's saying, listen, I'm nobody. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with Apollos. He said, who am I? While the rest of the congregation was saying, I and we, and we're the ones to follow. This is true glory, not to glory in ourselves. You understand, listen folks, and I've said this so many times in 1 Corinthians, that's one of the things Paul does well. You can maybe get annoyed by it. You say, it seems like we hear the same things over and over again. But Paul is thoroughly painting a picture here for us so that Faith Bible Church can see how not to have divisions. And one of the biggest things is when I gets in the way, when we start looking at our own selves, and Paul does a tremendous job of saying, listen, it's not me. He says, who's Paul? It is not me. And brethren, we say this, if you're thinking that it's any leadership, it's wrong. It's not any leader. It's not any person. And it's not any follower. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God. And he says, who is Paul? Nobody. Who is Apollos? Nobody. We've got to understand that any time that we draw focus and attention on the person, on people, on us, there is going to be problems. Anytime we get selfish, if you are here attending Faith Bible Church and you become selfish, thinking about your needs and what you deserve and what you ought to be involved in all of this, you're going to grow cold to the things of the Lord and you're going to make enemies of God's people. I'll tell you that, and I'll say it so much, be careful not to be a victim. I don't understand why I don't, and why I wasn't chosen for this. Any time that we get involved in that, it's carnality, and we're thinking of ourselves. Folks, it has nothing to do with me. And I'll tell you that when we grow in the things of the Lord, and we especially are involved in the church, when we're so self-focused on what we can and cannot do and the things of me and how the church is ministering to me and what they're doing for me, we will be not effective and we'll be divisive and we will find problems with everybody else that is out there and we'll divide each other up. We cannot do that. We've got to not be selfish. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Listen, what does Paul say in Philippians chapter 2? He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but on the things of others. We've got to, and I'm encouraging you, let's get off of ourselves. Let's get off of what we deserve. Let's get off of why we didn't get. Let's get off of those things and let's serve. Let's look at who is the one. We are here to serve the Lord. And whatever I can do in whatever capacity, I'm going to do it. And stop focusing on what I can and cannot do. Paul was saying, not me. notice what he says. He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers. Ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Paul was saying, not me. We're just ministers. And this word minister is the word servant. It's a servant. It's not the bond slave. It's not the bond servant that is referred to sometimes. This is just a servant of the Lord, one that is willing to do whatever is asked of me. Listen, I don't care if I'm, you know, the Christmas Hope Festival. I don't care if I'm picked to be the leader. Just put me somewhere and I want to do it. Yet, you know that there will be some people, and I hope not here in our church, but there could be some people that would get bothered. I don't understand. I have skills here. I don't know why that they didn't pick me to lead this. And I don't understand why they didn't call me first. I don't understand why I'm under this other people. Folks, yourself, that would be self-focus. And what's going to happen is division. Division. Because you're going to look at how you weren't and how they were. And all of a sudden, you just separated yourself from that other person. You separated yourself from that leader who appointed them. Oh, it's this, what Paul is saying here, what God is saying here is this is carnality. This is what, if I could say it, this is what babies do. This is what, maybe Christians, but that's what's going on in the nursery. And folks, we've got to get beyond that, beyond the, I don't understand why I wasn't recognized this and I will pick to do that. We've got to focus on what can I do for the Lord? What can I do? And instead of thinking about that, but coming and saying, hey, listen, if you need anybody to do this, I'm willing to do it. Wherever you can plug me in, and I'm just happy to do it. Praise the Lord for church people that are not looking to themselves, that are just looking to be used in whatever way they can be used. And I'll tell you, they're the most valuable people that are in this church, in any church, are people that are just willing to be used. And that is exactly what Paul is talking about here. A good leader is going to recognize that it is not us, it's not me, it's all about God. It's all about God. Paul gives us a tremendous example here by saying, who then is Paul? Who am I? I'm not anybody. He ends the verse, even as the Lord gave to every man. Who is the answer? It's all about God. You know, God is the only reason why anyone is helped spiritually. The only reason why anyone is helped. I like the song that we sing, Channels Only. There's the key word there, only. Channels Only. The only thing that we are is just an avenue, a channel. You understand what a channel is, right? A channel is nothing, has no power. You look at a power cord. If you get an electric power cord and you take that cord, honestly, you could use it like my kids maybe and use it for a whip or a lasso, but that's not the intention of it. But as far as a power cord would transfer energy, that plastic or that rubber or whatever it's made out of, the fibers that make up that cord, honestly, they cannot provide the power in and of itself to cut that piece of wood or to do that task or to bring the lights. It can't do anything of itself. But our cords, very useful. Absolutely, they are. They transfer. They're the channel for the power. And so we take that cord and we plug it into the power source. We plug it in, and then that energy, that power goes through that, and it goes to that saw or to that light or wherever it goes, and the power is used. We've got to recognize that we are only channels. There's no glory in a power cord. But just ask a guy in construction or a guy that does this. Just ask a lady in the kitchen that needs that energy from that mixer to that bowl. Just ask, is that cord valuable? Yes. As long as that cord doesn't rise up and say, why am I have to be plugged in here? Why can't I do it? The cord cannot do it. And the same thing is true with us. Division comes when the cord, and I know I'm being funny with my illustration here, but when the cord itself comes alive and rises up and looks at you and says, why don't you just use me? What's wrong with me? I'm providing the energy here. I'm the one that can do this. And you look at that cord and you say, cord, you have nothing of yourself. You're just a channel, a channel, a channel only. Again, we're not saying that that's not valuable. That is very valuable, but we've got to remember that it's the power source that has everything. We are just channels. And as soon as that cord rises up, there's going to be division. Very practically here in our church, when you go home from the church and you start thinking, I don't understand why, that's the time to stop right there and say, Lord, I don't understand why, but thank you that I have the opportunity to serve in any way. God, would you use me in whatever way? Would you show me? And would you help me just simply to be a channel? And like Paul, it's not me, but it's you, God. Would you just help me? And would you use me? Question, did God use Paul with that very humble spirit? You might say, boy, a person like that is just worthless because they have there's nothing in themselves. They say that they don't have anything and they can't do anything. That's not Paul. Paul wasn't saying. Paul was saying, I'm not the power source. I'm just the vessel. And we've got to say that same thing. Listen, whatever way, God, you want to use me, whatever way, I'm not maybe like so-and-so or not like this, whatever way you can use me, that is what I want. I was reading in my study, I was reading somebody and he was given an illustration about this. Can you imagine when, you know, you take a famous artist or something like that, that is maybe they've drawn or they've painted these amazing pictures, you know, in the past and during some of these times, and they made beautiful pictures on the ceilings of cathedrals and all this stuff. And you go there and maybe you're going to take a special trip to a museum and there's this museum of this whoever it was, this artist, and you go there, and you know how they make these statues of these artists, you know, and these artists are doing this. Can you imagine going to this museum, and you're going there to find out about this certain artist, and there in the middle of the room, the centerpiece of the whole place is a paintbrush. And everybody is just like going and look at this amazing statue of the paintbrush. Now, would you say that something is a little bit wrong there? Now, did the painter need the paintbrush? Yes. Was the paintbrush used? Yes. But folks, we have a tendency sometimes to do just that. And we want to be that paintbrush. And hey, everybody, look at me. And the painter is there in the background saying, see what we're talking about here? And that's where we've got to be very careful. People of faith, be careful. Be careful. Because any one of us, there's a tendency for all of us to think about right here. Every one of us, myself included, we can easily think about me. I don't understand why they're not so thankful. I don't understand why they never tell me. I don't understand why. We've got to get rid of that mentality and start thinking, what can I do? What can I do? God, help me to be the best paintbrush I can be, the best power cord I can be. Just help me to be available and used. Help me to be used for your honor and for your glory. So, real glory, that's what we need to look at. And the real glory goes to God. Second, I want you to see real growth, real growth. Now, look at verses 6 and 7. Now, Paul uses a farming illustration for this point. If Pastor Dan were here, he would like this illustration because Pastor Dan likes farming things. He likes farming illustrations, okay? So this is right up his alley. I have planted, Paul is still talking here. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, think about the farmer himself. All right, Paul planted. Is planting important in the farming business? What do you think? Well, it is important. You got to plant. Somehow that seed's got to be planted. We sometimes keep seeds. Maybe some of you keep them in a freezer or keep them in a bag or wherever you keep it. And I'm not a farmer, okay? I was a rancher and we didn't plant like that, okay? The hay grew, okay? But we didn't have to plant, so I don't know. But some of you will keep seeds, right? You'll keep these things. But you know that that seed isn't going to do anything by itself there in the freezer, right? You can take it out in how many years, and there they are, and they're not going to grow anything. You're going to have to do something with those seeds. Is planting important? Planting is very important. Somebody's got to go there and to take that seed and sow it into the ground. Got to put it in the right distance in the ground. Put it into that ground so that ground can do something. Let me ask another question. Is watering important? Is watering, the watering process important for that seed? Absolutely. You can put a seed in the ground, and if it doesn't get any water, probably not going to make, it's not going to maybe do anything, and if it does, it's not going to do much at all. It needs some water. So the planting is important, the watering is important, but there's no way that just planting or just watering or even just cultivating by itself can do anything. What it takes is a combination, but I'll tell you what it really takes. Honestly, planting, and that's why some people love farming so much, is because farming is a miracle of God. Did you ever take note of that? Farming is a miracle of God. You take a very small seed, sometimes seeds that you can hardly see, and put them in the ground and water them and cultivate them, and amazing things can happen. Amazing things can happen from that tiny little thing. Folks, if you never thought too much about it, that is a miracle of God, that He can take such a small thing and grow something so amazing, so good tasting, so in some cases like a big oak tree, so big, right? You take a little acorn and put it in the ground and maybe take a long time, but in many, many years, you know, to produce a mighty oak tree, that is a miracle of God. And Paul here recognizes this, and he says, we've got to understand real growth. The only way that spiritual increase happens is because of the work of God. It's not us. Anything that happens is because God is going to do it. It's not us. Now, you might be the one that invites that person to church. That's almost like planting that seed. Maybe you're the one that hands that tract out. Maybe you're the one that talks to that coworker about Jesus Christ and that He is the only way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father except for Him. And you do that work, and that is good, but that person cannot and will not get saved unless God does a work inside of his heart. The Holy Spirit convicts him of sin, righteousness, and judgment, shows him that he needs a Savior, convicts him of that, and that he trusts in that. There's the only way that it can happen. Just giving a tract to somebody doesn't save them. Just telling them about what God has done for you in your life does not save them. It's got to be God's work. And the same thing is true in our lives right here in this church. We can clean. We can open doors. We can play the piano. We can sing. We can preach. We can do everything that it takes to make this ministry work. And by the way, it's all important, which we're going to get at to in the end. It's so important to make this ministry work. But the only way that something can happen is God, not me, not you, God. And we've got to understand this real growth. God is the one that works. God is the one that brings this growth in people's lives. And a couple things that we need to see here. First of all ministries are just as equally important. Again, there's only a couple things. There's probably more that a farmer could tell me, but let's get a little bit deeper. Preparation of the ground first, right? Getting the ground ready way beforehand. And I see people that know more about that than I do, getting ground ready early. There's that cultivation, there's getting that ground ready, maybe there's fertilizing beforehand or in the off season or whenever it is, there's fertilizing. So ground prep, there's fertilizing, and I'll miss some. What's next? Eventually you're going to get to, you've got to get out and get the crop itself, get the seeds. Then you've got to, in some cases, not all cases, you're probably going to put a trench of some sort and get that ready, put that in the ground, gets it back covered back up. Water is going to have to come, and then all the rest of the stuff that farmers do to get it to where that stuff starts to come up, okay? There's a process. Now, obviously, the biggest part of that is the work of God. that does the miracle in that little corn kernel that grows out of that. God does a miracle in there, but he uses these channels to accomplish things. Okay, so the water is important, isn't it? Yeah, but it's not the only thing. We can just water, and just water is not going to do it. In fact, too much water can drown a seed, okay? There's got to be sunlight. There's got to be soil. In some cases, I've seen some of these seeds that just put them in water and they grow a little bit different. But there's got to be all kinds of things for this seed to grow, for this to happen. But one of the things that we can see is as this is all of God and real growth, but God chooses to use every part of the process. And I would say, was Paul important? He was important because somebody needed to water. Was Apollos important? Maybe Apollos was the one that watered. But Paul planted. Is planting important? Absolutely. Can I say this? And this is kind of a side note for tonight, but can I tell you, every ministry in this church is very, very, very important. Very important. What you do, don't at all be deceived into thinking what I do is not very important. I only do this. Folks, if you didn't do that job, then it would be left undone. And when it's undone, then we're lacking. We are lacking. It hurts. All ministries are just as equally important. Listen, if God has called you to as a certain person to a work, that is the most important ministry that you can do. And that stems off of what we talked about this morning. All you have to do is obey God. When God calls you to whatever ministry it is here in this church, if you obey God and do it, that's success. Obeying God. It's not success that if you ever make it up to this pulpit. It's not success that if you ever make it up to you know, with this group. It's not success whether you get recognized with a trophy of this or a testimony from somebody else. Hey, praise the Lord. You know what? There's a lot of people that I have never verbally praised up here and said, hey, thank you for doing this. I thank you all for doing everything that you do. But the point is, we've got to be very careful, you know, not to look at success like we talked about this morning with recognition. All we need to be concerned about is if God wants you right now in the time of life that you're in this ministry, whether you're a baby, maybe as a baby, maybe you got saved, maybe you just joined. There's going to be things that you do. And I'll tell you what, if your job is to just do whatever it is, praise the Lord. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do. You know, in the household, of course, our household is getting older now, but we still have a 5-year-old that's there. And honestly, Nehemiah's job is not going to be the same thing as Ezekiel's job is. Because Nehemiah cannot do the same thing that Ezekiel can do. And we don't expect Nehemiah to do what Ezekiel can do. We don't expect it. We don't demand that he does that. But what we do is we give him jobs that Nehemiah can do. And as he is faithful with picking up his room and putting his clothes and hanging them up where they belong, as he is faithful with that, then all of a sudden we say, you know what, Nehemiah, you're ready for the next job. Still pick up your clothes, but you've graduated now to, hey, now you're helping dry dishes. And now you're, and it goes and it gets more and it gets more and it gets more. And you graduate to that. But all that, God doesn't look at Nehemiah and say, Nehemiah, you're not pulling your weight enough. All you're doing is picking up your clothes. If that's what God has called him to do, and that is what he's called him to do right now, pick up his clothes. He has other things, but if that's where he's at, then God is pleased with what he does. So you're here and you just got saved or you just joined the church or whatever. And by the way, just joining the church doesn't mean that you're just a newborn Christian. I'm not trying to say that. But wherever you're at, as you are doing what God has called you to do in this ministry here, that's what pleases the Lord. Do not think, oh, I'm just not. Listen, it's that channel. Just be that channel and serve the Lord. And in time, God's going to give you more things. And as you get busy and as you're faithful doing those little things, God is going to give you more and more and more. But don't be deceived into thinking what I'm doing is just little. It would be foolish for Nehemiah to get discouraged and think, all I do is pick up my room. Mom and Dad said, praise the Lord, you pick up your room. That's what we want you to do. That's all we're asking you to do. Pick up your room. That's all we need is for you to pick up your room. When you don't pick up your room, then that's when you need to be sad about that, because you didn't do what you're supposed to do. My friends, I want to tell you, whatever God calls you to do is what you need to be concerned about doing. And all of God's work is important. The second thing we see out of this is when we categorize different ministries and quantify them for their importance. Listen, did you catch what I just said? When we start to categorize different ministries and quantify them, and it all, honestly, what I'm about to say comes off of this morning, when we start to look at those things and see that success is measured by certain things, then it's going to bring out carnality and division. Well, he's better than I am. I must not be important in this place. And she is, there it goes. Do you see that? Because we're starting to look at, we're not looking at it, we're just looking at what we're doing as little. The only thing we need to be concerned about is, are we doing what God's called us to do? And in some cases, we're not doing what God's called us to do. And I say then to get busy doing what God's called you to do. But let's do what God's called us to do. And let's, number one, let's be content and happy. I'm doing, God, what you asked me to do. Second of all, that I'm going to be content right there, and I'm not going to look around, and I'm not going to start comparing. We need to make sure that we do the Lord's work and that we're faithful with that. So we see real growth. Lastly, I want you to see real gain. Real gain. Look at verses 8 and 9, okay? So Paul is saying, look, at who am I? This is what we do. We plant, we water, God gives the increase. Now he that planteth, that was him, and he that watereth are one. They're on the same category. This is all the same business. It's God's work. We're just channels. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his, these are key words here. He'll receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. He says we're all one in the same. Folks, listen, we're all one. What we're doing here is we're servants of the Lord. And that's why I like to refer myself and you, we're servants of the Lord. Who are you? I'm a servant of the Lord. No matter what you do, I'm a servant of the Lord. Not, I'm an usher. I'm a deacon. I'm a pastor. I'm a musician. We're servants of the Lord. You got that? We're servants of the Lord. Every one of us. We're just servants of the Lord. Every one of us. Servants of the Lord. Each one's reward or gain, listen, is not based on results or showy numbers. See, that's where we get into division, because we say, well, they've got more, and they've got less, and I've got this, and they've got that. No, it has nothing to do with results or showy numbers, which we saw this morning. Remember, the results are whose? They're God's. In fact, when we start saying results are his, we're taking it away from God. Remember, the results are God's. Think about it. We've had missionaries here at Faith Bible Church. Have there been missionaries where we've seen a lot of people saved and a lot of things happen? Yeah. Have there been other missionaries where we've hardly heard hardly anybody getting saved? Yep. Does that automatically mean that the missionary where they're seeing lots of results is any better than the missionary where they're not seeing any results? No. Now, there could be, if the missionary over there is not doing his work, not witnessing, not sharing the gospel, it could be that, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about whatever God's called them to do. Remember, the measure is, am I obeying God? There's going to be some fields that the harvest comes up quickly. There's going to be other fields that it takes forever and it takes long. And we cannot measure a person's success in the ministry based on all these numbers, because it's God that gives the increase. God is the one that we look at. It is His job. It is His duty. It is not ours. I was in a ministry at one point in time, and I'll not say what it was. It was a good ministry, but I was in a ministry that I struggled with, because Because in that ministry, if certain amount of people didn't trust Christ or didn't get saved in a certain time period, then it was looked at as that the work is not being done right. And I struggle with that because I know, yes, I know when we give the gospel, people can get saved. But just because people aren't getting saved does not mean that something's not going on there for the Lord. I know a lot of pastors and a lot of people in the ministry that have been laboring for the Lord and working hard and doing everything that God's asked them to do. They've seen very little results, but that does not mean that that servant is not a faithful servant of the Lord. Praise the Lord for those men that have continued on, those ladies and women that have continued on the ministry and not given up, and they're still moving forward. That does not mean that they're not doing right. And we've got to look at our own lives that way. You might not have a lot of showy numbers or a lot of production, but are you obeying God? That's the question. Now again, for many of us, we're not obeying the Lord. You know what? So I haven't seen anybody saved, but pastor's saying that's okay. No, that's not okay if you're out witnessing, but if it's when I'm being quiet and I'm not saying anything and I'm not seeing anybody saved, well, that's the problem. But if you're sharing with the gospel with people, if you're doing the work, if you're discipling people, you're giving the word of God to people, if you're doing what God has called you to do, then we leave the rest to God. That is His business. That is His job. The individual's reward or gain is based on his or her own what? What does it say? Labor. Obedience. Are you doing? Are you working? Are you trying? So in other words, are you doing something for the Lord, whatever He's called you to do? That's the question. As we close, we've got to be very careful at looking around in our congregation and comparing and seeing who's getting this numbers and who's getting this results. And we need to step back and say, God, this is what You called me to do. It's not about me. It's about You. You've called me to water. You've called me to fertilize. You've called me to plant. You've called me to clean. You've called me to play. You've called me to lock up. You've called me to wash this. You've called me to oversee this. You've called me to serve this way. Am I doing that? If we're obedient to the Lord, we leave the rest to Him. It's when we start looking around that we're in danger of division, church division. If everybody individually served where God wanted them to and looked at the Lord that way, trusting the Lord for increase, then our church will stay together. And isn't it amazing, as we close, is it amazing that God chooses to include us as His laborers together with God? He says that there at the end of this verse, for we are laborers together with God. You know, He doesn't even in this verse say, well, God is Him and you're just a lousy little laborer. He says, you know, God's including us in His workforce. That is amazing that He looks at us as simple channels, but yet He says, these are My workers. These are My workers. Even though He's the one that gets all the honor, all the glory. He's the one, the reason. And yet, He still, it's kind of, you know, I know, silly, but it's kind of like at the end of the day, that contractor going and picking up that cord and holds that cord in his hand while he goes to put it away and thinks to himself, I'm really thankful that I had you today. God could have get the work done without us, but I wouldn't have got the work done today if I had not had you. And God does that with us. He's thankful. Praise the Lord for this cord. Praise the Lord for this brush. Praise the Lord for whoever you are as we're doing our job. Praise the Lord. Amazing. Because it's His building. Folks, Faith Bible Church is God's building. And we need to recognize it's His building, not ours. Let's be put to work. And let's not be involved in nursery work. Nursery work, maybe, not nursery play and fighting. And let's be mature adults that are happy to do whatever God wants us to do. God, would You help us? God, would you help us to surrender our will, surrender ourselves, our egos, our talents and abilities, and just say, God, what do you want me to do? Lord, those people are the best servants. God, would you raise up a group of people at Faith Bible Church that would just be absolutely pleased to do whatever you have for them to do, each one of us, and not get to looking around at everybody else that gets this and does that and gets more increase. Oh God, God, I pray that you would help us to be busy in your work and that you would give the increase. God, and we're asking you to give increase at Faith Bible Church. Would you please give us increase? God, help us to water. Help us to plant. Help us to fertilize. Help us to expose to sun. God, help us. And God, would you please be faithful at giving us an increase here soon? Would you please do that? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing 390, I Surrender All. However God has spoken to your heart tonight, I trust that you'll respond accordingly. Let's be servants of the Lord. 390, let's stand as we sing that first verse. All to Jesus I surrender.